Faith's lips curled in contempt, and Langfelt said, "You have to give me some credit for that. How many murderers do you know are so kind to their victims?" When Faith didn't respond, Langfelt sighed and continued, "Anyway, I found that the power was enough to satisfy me. I didn't need to torture them. I didn't need to burn them or cut them. I didn't need to violate them. I just needed to talk to them. I needed someone to listen. With my desire for revenge satisfied, I needed to experience, even in the smallest sense, what it feels like to have a loving, supportive family. So I created a world where that family existed. I gave them personalities that, while similar to their actual personalities, weren't so cruel. Dad became a gruff curmudgeon instead of cold and loveless. Mum became a gossip and a busybody instead of ruthlessly judgmental. Elisa became a bimbo instead of a bitch. And my brother became an annoying but lovable alpha instead of a sadistic jerk. It was a family I could accept. And most importantly, a family that accepted me. I realise how foolish this all is, Special Agent. I understand how ridiculous it is of me to engage in this farce. I know that those men and women were innocents whose lives I ended terribly. I know that my family died, never loving me. In fact, probably confirmed in their hatred for me. I know that I've gained no revenge by taking my anger out on others. I'm not defending myself, but all I have to do for the rest of my life, however long that is talk. And so I have."
"You burned them," Michael said. "I don't understand. You killed your family. You already got revenge. You even got away with it. You won. Why did you need to kill other people?"
Langfelt took a breath. "I didn't win, Special Agent. I'll never win. One of my earliest memories is my sister holding me still while my brother pissed on me. You don't overcome a start like that. I tried, I really did. I tried hard, but it only took one look at a couple who reminded me of my brother and my first love for me to break completely. I won't insult your intelligence by asking you to feel sorry for me, but I do feel sorry for myself. If I could have had a normal upbringing, who knows what I could have been? I'm smart. I'm a good problem solver. I'm calm under pressure. I could have been successful in anything I chose to do."
"And that's just it, Kenny," Faith said. "You chose to be a serial killer. You chose to kill your family. You chose to give in to your trauma. I've been where you are now, Kenny. I understand what it's like to feel powerless, and I understand what it's like to feel trapped by your past. I understand what it's like to be obsessed with revenge."
She paused a moment. Langfelt regarded her with his flat expression.
"I understand what it's like to believe that there's no way out. But there is. You have to choose to stay on that path, and you have to choose to remain there no matter what comes into your life to try to pull you off of it. You didn't choose to stay on your path, and because you chose to stray, 17 innocent people have lost their lives."
"So have I," Langfelt said, with his expression unchanged. Faith nodded and stood. She wasn't sure exactly why she had wasted her time telling Langfelt that. Maybe she simply needed to hear it herself. She hadn't gone off the deep end the way Langfelt had, but she really did understand the feeling of being a slave to her past. Still, she felt no sympathy for Langfelt. Langfelt viewed other lives as meaningless compared to his own, and Faith didn't believe that any amount of trauma justified that belief. She walked toward the door, Michael and Turk following.
"Thank you for listening," Langfelt called after her.
She didn't respond.